Good evening and welcome. I ask that you turn inside your bulletin and let's join together in the greeting for this evening. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
God's mercy endures forever.
I invite you to stand, please, and join in our hymn, Lord, Who Throughout These 40 Days, hymn number 269. Please join with me in our congregational prayer. O merciful Father, in compassion for your sinful children, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world. Grant us grace to feel and lament our share of the evil that made it necessary for him to suffer and die for our salvation. Help us by self-denial, prayer, and meditation to prepare our hearts for deeper penitence and a better life, and give us a true longing to be free from sin through the deliverance made possible through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
Thank you. reading from God's holy word this evening is taken from the Old Testament prophecy from the prophet Joel. We'll be reading from the second chapter, verses 12 through 19. May the people of God be enriched and blessed by this reading from God's holy word as we find it in Joel 2, 12 through 19. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, a cereal offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify congregations, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room in the bridal chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests and ministers of the Lord weep and say, spare thy people, O Lord, and make not thy heritage a reproach. A byword among the nations, why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. And the Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending you grain, wine, and oil. You shall be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word and the hope of our living God. Thanks be to God. So usually after Christmas, I find myself in a decluttering mode. I began to clean out the house just a bit. It gives me a feeling of fresh start. And I guess every now and then we all need just a good old cleaning. I mean, we go to the dentist maybe a couple of times a year and have a dental hygienist clean our teeth. And then we will often do a body cleanse just to try to rid our bodies of toxins. Even in the church, not too terribly long ago, we got together and we had a cleanup day just to try to give a facelift to our church and look for things that might need to be repaired. So imagine the state of God's holy temple in Jerusalem, of which the prophet Joel speaks. There were years and years of misuse and neglect caused Solomon's once magnificent structure to look abandoned in total disarray, great neglect, a building impoverished, in an area of the city that had always been known to be like upscale and lovely. But then that all changed. As we read in Chronicles, we read about how this dilapidated building was cleaned up and refurbished, and after that took place, the offerings and sacrifices were also restored, and the temple was beautifully returned to normal. Well, almost. And then Joel writes these words, because there was a problem that you and I can really relate to. Everything looks so good on the outside. There really hadn't been much of an internal change within. God wasn't looking for an outer change so much as he was looking for an inner change. Last night in our Bible basics class, we delved into 1 Samuel. We came across the 6th chapter, the 17th verse. And we delighted in the wisdom of God's word that said, for God does not look upon another man as man looks upon them. Man looks on the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. It's the same challenge for us on this Ash Wednesday evening. God is looking at you. And God is looking at me. And God is looking and listening for signs of repentance. Real change. Not just saying the right words here. And not just singing the right words here. But God is looking and listening if the right spirit is here. That neglected building that Joel prophesied, don't you see, is you. And it is me. God is wanting us to take an honest look at our lives. And what do we see? What does our daily life look like? Are we engaged more with the things of the world or the things of God? Are we spending more time with the things of the world and the tasks of the world and the demands of the world and just finding whatever time we have left over to schedule it with God? As Wednesday charges us to do some much-needed house cleaning, my friends. So hear God's voice. He's saying one word. Return. Return. If you're not spending quantity and quality time with God, then God says, return to me. Your maker, your redeemer, your sustainer, your father. Your Almighty One. So as we go further in the text, God tells us how he wants us to return. I always appreciate when God gives us specifics. He says, rend your heart, not your garments. And many of us realize that in biblical times, to take a garment and to tear it was a visible witness of one's deep sorrow for their sin. And you have to remember, they didn't have a closet full of garments. Those garments were very precious to them, very costly. And if they rent their clothes as a sign of penitence, then they wouldn't stop there. Then they would go and confess to the priests and the prophets. And you would also wear sackcloth. Think of like a potato sack or something. And you would have ashes covering your head. You would do this possibly for appearance's sake, possibly. And possibly you might go to commit the same sins. You see, the obvious problem here is they were trying to cure the cancer of sin with a Band-Aid. Trying to cover the sin and not ask for healing from it, not cure it. So God says, rend your heart, not your garments. And the word convicts us, friends. We sing during this season somber songs. We will place ashes on our forehead. But if we do not truly kneel before God our Maker and Christ our Lord and repent of our sins and feel sorry in our hearts for them, all this that we're doing is cosmetic, not deep change. So the word repentance means turn around. So God is calling us, each of us tonight, to turn it around and trust him that he has the power to help us deal with whatever it is we're struggling with. Or maybe the several things we find ourselves struggling with. To believe and trust God that he has the power to help us. But now that calls for a commitment. When two people get married, they make a solemn commitment. They can make a commitment to each other, to love each other and care for each other the rest of their lives. Never in all my years of ministry have I ever said to the bride or to the groom in this vow, will you be loyal and honor one another most of the time? When God invites us into his heart, into his house, into his spirit, he wants a commitment all the time, with all of our heart. And repentance of the heart usually involves some form of remorse. So often we read about tragedies that seem as a result of carelessness. Somebody didn't have their home inspected recently, and the gas tank and furnace and all that might have not exploded had it been checked recently for leaks or maintenance. Someone leaves a candle burning. Someone else thinks, oh, I hadn't had so much that I can't drive myself home. I haven't had too much to drink. I can still navigate and get home. The tremendous pain that comes from losing a loved one is increased greatly when the loss of that loved one is due to carelessness, lack of respect of life. The same thing is true when we refuse to repent and change. It's like God watching us hurl ourselves over a cliff. It's so preventable. It's like cleaning repentance is a one-time thing. No, it's an ongoing process. Your house gets dirty mighty quick if you don't have a regular routine of cleaning it. Same thing with the heart and your journey in your faith. But see, here's the good news in Joel's prophecy tonight to us. Even now with our sinful past, the Lord doesn't stop believing in you and doesn't stop believing in me. He doesn't lose hope in us. When we finally do some spiritual house cleaning, God's there. God does something awesome when we come to Him. In our repentance, God relents. We repent, and God relents. Read the Old Testament, and you'll see right away that is true. So, Prophet Jeremiah stated a great promise to you tonight, a great promise to me. Prophet Jeremiah stated, and he shall remember your sins no more. But we have to repent and show God we want these sins dissolved and gone and buried and cleaned out. And we take our steps toward the cross this Lenten season. Many people don't like this season. They don't like the songs that have a melancholy tone. They don't like the messages that talk about a 33-year-old man that is tortured to death. They don't like the confrontation to the Holy Spirit of a flawed human being. We don't like being reminded of the sacrifice of Christ, but we will mourn our own part through our sin in His crucifixion. And we will intentionally trace the steps of the agony. Most of all, the thing that Jesus wants us to remember the most is we will remember His love for us. If you give something up for Lent, feel the sacrifice of it. But don't stop there. Add something to Lent. Add a little bit more time in daily prayer. Add a moment or two to read God's Word and pray before you do and say, Lord, may something just jump out from the page and grab my heart. In fact, I might even suggest that during these 7 weeks of Lent that you read just one chapter of the seven last chapters of any of the Gospels. And it'll take you through the Passion of Christ and to the resurrection and glory of Jesus. Let it take you from gall to glory. Reading and remembering, as it empowers you to turn around and glorify Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for you so you could have eternal life. May we be just a little shinier, a little cleaner at the end of our Lenten journey, that we can truly reflect the light of Christ. In his holy name I pray. Amen. Hear this invitation to the Lenten discipline as you find it in your bulletin. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection, and it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the need that we all have to renew our faith. You are invited now in the name of the church to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, to make a right beginning of repentance, and as a mark of our mortal nature, let us prepare to kneel before our Creator and Redeemer. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I would invite at this time those who are going to assist this evening as we prepare to have our ashes of Christ imposed upon us. Let us be standing as we sing our closing hymn, O Love Divine, What Hast Thou Done, 287. Represents the greatest who ever lived, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. As you go into the world, don't be so quick to wash it off. Maybe go and stop along the way home somewhere that someone might see your witness. Maybe it'll even start a conversation that you can tell someone that you follow the greatest one who ever lived and lives forevermore. And the hope and the joy and the salvation that means to you that you hope for them. May you go in the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, this moment.